This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Arena Grosu back on the program with us. Arena is the director of the Center for Human Dignity at Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., where she focuses on sanctity of human life issues ranging from conception to end-of-life care. She recently hosted a lecture at FRC about the current status of euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide, and we're going to be talking with her about these important end-of-life issues and their status in the United States. Arena, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on.
What impact do you think that the government's involvement in healthcare in the United States could have on the proposed expansion of euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide here?
Well, what we see is, first of all, we see increased healthcare costs. So, for example, many medical societies, including one called Choosing Wisely, have submitted, as of April 2014, have submitted lists of top 5 procedures, tests, or products to be questioned because they are considered wasteful. So even doctors and medical associations are going to be cutting costs. And this has a lot to do with Obamacare and everything else. And so I want to speak about Obamacare specifically. And there were a couple of programs established under Obamacare which threatens the elderly, in particular, elderly people. And so there's this program called IPAB, which stands for Independent Payment Advisory Board. And this is a 15-member board of unelected and unaccountable bureaucrats, which are tasked with making cuts to insurance reimbursement. And so they're actually tasked with cutting $500 billion for Medicare over a decade. Well, what's going to happen when, under Obamacare, this board decides to cut so many of the programs that keep our elderly people protected? And so there's one program that is extremely dangerous for the elderly people. Another one is called PCORI, Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. And this is a 19-member board, and they are tasked with examining the relative health outcomes, clinical effectiveness, and appropriateness of different medical treatments. So what they can say is, oh, this treatment is not so effective, or this treatment is not so cost-effective, and they could cut out different treatment options. And once that's pushed through, then those treatment options are no longer available or covered by insurance, especially under the exchange. And then you also have Medicare limits. Even senior citizens who would want to pay more for a treatment that is only partially covered by health insurance are not allowed to, using their own private funds. And so you see even Obamacare, the setup for something such as euthanasia or assisted suicide is huge when you look at what programs will be cut and how elderly people will suffer as a result.
Do you see efforts in the medical arena starting with the denial of nutrition and fluids to those who are in what we would consider to be near end-of-life decisions, but that are still treatable, and then
right,
there is an attempt to use that as justification to expand for health savings and other types of things within medical care to expand it to essentially give physicians the authority to just withhold that care and hasten someone's death in an unnatural fashion?
I would say that is happening more often than we'd like to think or more often than we realize, because people do have a right to reject treatment. And usually when someone rejects treatment, it should be because it's extraordinary and not that it's ordinary treatment. But what people need to know is that food and water are ordinary means, meaning that anyone, whether healthy or not, would die without food or water. And so that's something that must always be offered, unless that becomes an extraordinary means. But in most cases, this is just an ordinary means. And so denial of food and water is a very easy way, even in even in states where euthanasia and assisted suicide are not legal, for someone to be killed, basically. And we need to be vigilant of this. Like the little girl in Texas that I mentioned before, she was denied food and water, and she died a slow death in her very own home for 8.5 days. And her family just watched her life go, basically, because she was denied the basic need of food and water, not because of her own illness. She was actually killed. And so we have to be vigilant, and we have to look at our different states and see what practices are being done there in the hospitals. And people need to do investigative work at the state level.
Well, Arena, at times it seems that those of us in the pro-life community focus so much on abortion that we can often lose sight of the critical importance of end-of-life issues. And with the desire to really honor the God-given gift of life from conception to natural death, I think it's important for us to be ever mindful of the importance of these end-of-life issues. Why is the issue of euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide one of the most important sanctity of life issues of our time?
I would say for the reasons I mentioned before, the fact that this is going to be a growing problem. The elderly people, the population is growing. Healthcare rationing is already taking place. We have a declining birth rate. So we are going to see euthanasia and assisted suicide as one of the major life threats. And I would say that disrespect for human life at the beginning of life, as we've seen with the unborn, leads to disrespect for human life at the end of life, the elderly and the dying and the sick people. And the common thread is the vulnerability of the victims. And so we have to look at being pro-life means that we are pro the respect for the dignity of life and the entire continuum of life from the moment of conception until a natural death. And so this is something that the pro-life movement must defend. Another thing to keep in mind is that the end-of-life threats, euthanasia and assisted suicide, follow a same pattern and are very closely linked to the abortion movement. And they have modeled the language based on what has already worked in the U.S. And so language that you will hear, and they have actually changed language from the 1930s all the way to the present so that it is more palatable for the general public. And so instead of talking about suicide, and we must continue to say this is assisted suicide, it's not an aid in dying. They changed the word to aid in dying. They talk about a right to die, mercy killing, people having an economic burden, the right to death with dignity. And they'll say, my choice, my life, my death. And this rings very closely to the pro-abortion movement, because if it's about a right that they claim people have over life or death, as in the case of abortion, it's also, we can also see that at the end of life. And so we have to continue in our daily lives, as well as in the public square, to defend the respect of all human life, and especially those people who are vulnerable, the elderly people and the unborn people and the sick people.
So we as Christians, essentially, and not just those of us who work in public policy and in the political arenas, both on the national and state level, but individual Christians who really seek to honor God and honor, again, the gift of life, really have a responsibility and a role in caring for the sick and dying, and not just in caring for them, for members of their own family, but taking on this concern as a personal matter or issue that needs to be addressed. And some people may feel led to work that out through articulating policies regarding euthanasia and assisted suicide that truly value human life. In opposing efforts to expand euthanasia and assisted suicide in our country and, of course, in our state here in North Carolina, would you agree with that?
Of course. And I would say it starts in the home, and it's the way that you treat your family members, you treat your neighbors, and so it starts at the closest circle to us. We have to show dignity and respect to the young people, the elderly people, the sick people, and the dying people in our own very lives. And then it reaches out, because if it starts in the home, And everyone did that. Everyone would have a respect for human life. And once we are examples of that as Christians, and as once we're examples of that in our own life, then we can reach out and volunteer at hospitals and hospices and other places that take care of vulnerable people. But then at the next level, if we wanted to become even more involved, we should become active in our state, educate others on the dangers of euthanasia and assisted suicide, and bring it to your church, bring it to your civic groups, bring it to your schools, and talk about it, and also take a vocal stance. See if there's any groups in North Carolina that are looking to protect against the plague of assisted suicide, and see if if something becomes a threat, write to your local paper, tell your state legislature. And one of the things that really impressed me was I saw a letter written to a newspaper by a 17-year-old girl in Connecticut when they were trying to pass a bill in Connecticut, and thankfully it failed. But I was really impressed by the fact that she's 17 years old and she was standing up for elderly people and people who are at risk of what would be the result of an assisted suicide law in Connecticut. And also we need to make sure that there's things in place to protect the sick people and the elderly. And so palliative care is there to emphasize pain relief and symptom control so that people who are in pain and dying can have comfort, and that they have people around them who provide basic health care for them, nutrition, hydration, cleanliness, warmth. And I think overall, as a society, we need to accept suffering as an element of the human condition. We've kind of put away suffering as and almost tried to pretend that humans shouldn't go through that, even though it's part of our daily life. Alleviating some suffering should not involve the intentional killing of anyone. And so when we look at respecting life and human dignity, we need to continually be examples of that in our very own lives and then be vocal about it in our state.
Well, speaking about being vocal, Arena, and unfortunately we're almost out of time for this show, but where can our listeners go to learn more about all that you and the Family Research Council are doing to address these end-of-life care issues and the resources that are available?
Please visit www.frc.org. Under there, we will have major life issues as well as marriage issues and otherwise, and you can click on each of the life issues. There's a link for euthanasia, and under there are resources. So I would recommend for anyone to visit frc.org. I gave a presentation on this, so if you go to frc.org, you will find it there, and you can watch the presentation as well. And we always have other resources for you. We have publications and lectures that you can watch over your computer on a lot of life issues so that you can stay updated on them.
Well, that's great, and I would really encourage our listeners to avail themselves of those resources. Clearly, this is an extremely important issue, and as I mentioned earlier, it's an issue that's often overshadowed by the focus on abortion, but it is fundamentally an issue of life and honoring the sanctity of human life. So I would very much encourage our listeners to go to frc.org. Again, that's FRC as in Family Research Council.org, and download the information and the reports that they have, because the first step toward getting involved is being informed. And FRC certainly has some great resources to help inform you all about these very important issues. Well, Arena Grossu, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us on Family Policy Matters and for your great work defending the sanctity of human life at the Family Research Council.
Thank you so much for having me on, and keep fighting the good fight.
We appreciate the partnership with the Family Research Council that we have at the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Appreciate so much the great work that you do. And again, thank you for your time, Arena.
Thank you. God bless you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-919-919. 800-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.